Thank you. It's been quite encouraging because probably the majority of what I'm going to share on my piece of paper here has already been said this morning. So that's really good. But I just wanted, before I started, I just wanted to honour two ladies. The first lady is Mel, my extraordinary neighbour. But behind something like Transform is always a lot of practical details and a little bit of hair pulling out and a little bit of grace extension. And I just want to say that I think Mel did a fantastic job of just bringing practical things together. And also Joyce, in terms of, I wouldn't want to be the person that had to lay the pitch out personally. So I just want to, actually I just think we could just give them a little bit of a round of applause. They are incredible hard workers and we are blessed to have them. So I just want to tell you a little bit about my experience at Transform. It won't take up all of the time, but I arrived at Transform. We'd had a fair bit of time sitting on the side of the M40, which is actually quite scenic, waiting for the car to cool down before we then moved on. So it actually took us a little bit over 7 hours to arrive. So when we arrived, there was a mixture of relief and a little bit of frustration, I have to admit. But anyway, so I went to the evening meeting and we were worshipping, and there was a line in a song that talked about God's Spirit working and moving through us. Sorry, Tom, you're not the only one. And I just found myself thinking, actually, I don't know whether that's true in my life. I believe it in other people's lives, and I believe it generally that God can move through his Holy Spirit in people. But right at that moment in time, I was struggling to think that that was applicable for me. So it happened in a split second, and I left the meeting and didn't actually give it any more thought again. So the next morning, we had the Nehemiah Bible studies, which I was really looking forward to. Nehemiah has been something that we've really encouraged ourselves along the way when we've been doing lots of building work at the gate. We would regularly read Nehemiah. And so I was really looking forward to that. I have my Bible, my notebook, my pen, and my new reading glasses to show commitment. So anyway, we got there on time. And I was just starting to write notes. And it was Mike Beaumont, who's a terrific Bible. He just knows everything, doesn't he, about the Bible. So anyway, he was starting to tell about the history. And I was writing notes. And then I started to cry. Right? I was surprised as well, Graham. Thank you for laughing. Okay, there was absolutely no rhyme or reason. There was no emotional build-up. There was nothing. Tim hadn't nudged me in the nose. There was nothing for me to cry. So anyway, I tried to pull myself together because no one else was crying. But it went on and on, and I started to have this dialogue in my head. It was like saying something like, why are you crying? It's like, I don't know. When are you going to stop? I don't know. And so in the end, I thought, I don't know what's going to happen. So I thought, best thing, I just go. So I left the tent and I went for a walk around the field, which was conveniently placed behind the big top. And I just felt God lovingly correct me about how I'd felt about the Spirit of God being personal in my life. So anyway, this actually took 45 minutes, and I then met everybody else coming out of the big top, and we walked back and had a nice cup of coffee. It was nice. So went to the next meeting, so just a time for coffee, then straight into the next meeting. So back again, Bible, notebook, pen, reading glasses. I started to cry again. Okay, by this time I was thinking, okay, this has happened before. I'm not going to ask so many questions. I'm just going to go. So back round the field again, doing a few laps. And I just felt more and more of God's love for me and his reassurance, and actually that his spirit is at work, and it's for me and it's for everybody. And if you believe in Jesus today, that spirit is at work in you. Okay. So at this point, I was beginning to wonder whether I would actually sit through a whole meeting. Anyway. But if you'd like to open your Bibles, if you've got them, or share with the person next to you. And it's John 16. And it's starting at verse 5 to verse 15. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's good, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of grief in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Hallelujah. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and will make it known to you. Okay, I was thinking a little bit about, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's basically preparing them that he's no longer going to be with them. And I was thinking about what it would be like to have been with Jesus, to have fallen in love with Jesus, to have been with him every day, to have given my life up to be with him. And he said, actually, I'm off now, I'm going. I think I might not have wanted to say, well, where are you going? I think I might have wanted to actually not want to know about that, but actually just to have wanted to stay with him. Because I think God actually knows what it's like to lose someone that we love. And basically he was preparing them to lose someone that they had really grown to love. And he says, but it's actually for your good. It's for your good that I'm going. And I'm just thinking, I wonder whether they're thinking, it can't get much better than this, though. Being with Jesus, it can't be much better. But he says, I'm going to send the counselor to you. He will comfort you. He will be with you. And actually, he can do far more on earth than I can. I'm one human, but the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. He can be in Dymchurch and Dubai. He can be everywhere all the time. But so he was preparing their hearts, and they didn't want to hear it. But he was bringing reassurance all the time. And that's the spirit that we need today, that spirit that can work and move in our lives, but in the lives of our community, in the lives of our nation, in the lives of our world today. So he was bringing words of comfort to them. And the Spirit only ever speaks what he hears the Father and Jesus say. He can't do anything other than that. So when I thought about this, I was thinking about what the Spirit wants to do in our lives today. And We restrict the Holy Spirit, but he wants to move and work so much in each of our lives, through us, into our communities, into the people that we see in the playground. And so back to camp. Did I get to sit through a whole meeting? Well, I did, yeah. But I'd also had that fresh awareness from the Holy Spirit, actually, that there is more. There's more for me. There's more for us. And so I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to, with this fresh enthusiasm, I'm going to step out a little bit. So one morning I was, there was a barn where you could go at 8 o'clock and you could basically just lie there or pray or meditate. And so I was there one morning and I was reminded of a chap that I'd met there the previous year. So he was working on the site and he was sleeping in the barn. He shouldn't have been. So what he used to do was get up early and get on with his work. But this morning that I met him last year, he'd overslept. So I rolled into the barn and woke him up. So we chatted for a little bit, and I remember praying with him. And God brought him to my remembrance. And I thought, oh, that's odd. I can't even remember his name. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, it's one of your son's names. So I thought, great, that's that's helpful, narrows it down quite a lot. So anyway, I came out of the barn, the session was over, and who did I see getting off the tractor? This chap. So in my enthusiasm, I bowled over to him and I shook him by the hand and I said, oh, hi, Ben. No, I didn't call him Ben, I called him James. I said, hi, James, I don't know if you remember me. We met last year. And he said, yeah, I do remember you. He said, but actually, it's Ben. So actually, we're still human, but the Holy Spirit does want to work through us. And he just shared a little bit about where he was at the moment, and I prayed with him about that. But, you know, I was just thinking, can we give the Holy Spirit a little bit more room in our lives? Can we invite him in a little bit more? You know, he wants to speak in the playground. He wants to speak at work. He wants to speak down the street. Can we? Can we open our hearts up a little bit more to what he wants to do?